All right, so we are holding on Zion Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the top then. So the Mishnah had told us that 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is moves from his house to Lishkas Parhedrin in the Beis Mikdash, and we had a long discussion about where we learned that from. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we learn it from a pasuk regarding the Miluim. According to Rish Lakish, we learn it from how Moshe Rabbeinu was inside the cloud for 6 days before Hashem started speaking to him and teaching him the Torah during after Matan Torah. That led the Gemara into a discussion. Why exactly do we need him to be completely separated from his house, and in particular from his wife? And the reason is because she might be a tzofik nida, and it might be that she becomes a nida. She's not sure whether it happened while they were having relations, and then he'd be tomei for 7 days. So the Gemara asked, in that case, why aren't we equally concerned about Tumas Nes? How are we allowing him visitors during those 7 days, when conceivably one of those visitors might pass away and he becomes Tomei Mes? So that led us into a discussion of the question of, given that the Korbanos he's bringing on Yom Kippur, almost all of them are Korbanos Tzibur, do we say, a famous machlokes that we have in several places in Shas, where the Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur or Hutra B'Tzibur? Do we say that, given that Korbanos Tzibur can be brought B'Tumah, everybody agrees to that, is it that you can do it even as a L'Hatchila thing, that would be Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur? So in other words, we're not concerned to begin with to prevent the possibility of Tumah taking place. That would be, according to that, then there's no reason to prevent the Kohenim to prevent the Kohen Gadol from having visitors. On the other hand, if we say that Tumah is Dechuya B'Tzibur, then the question still is, but then we're not really focusing. So then the Gemara says it's not so much then that we're not concerned about it, but it's so uncommon, so much less common than that his wife should become Nida, that therefore we don't have any reason to be concerned about it. So now that led us into a discussion, a machlokes, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, whether in fact Tumah is Dechuya B'Tzibur, according to Rav Sheshes, or Hutra, according to Rav Nachman. We established some ground rules. We said that if there are, according to one version, we said if there are Kohenim Tahorim from that day's base of, then we have them do the Avodah. According to the second, even Rav Nachman would agree to that. According to the second version, Rav Nachman would say that even then, the Tmeim can still do it, because Tumah Hutra, period. We also said, Rav Nachman agreed, that if it's a Korban which is going to be eaten afterwards, for example, the Korban Omer, then we do try to do it b'tara, not so much because of the problem with tumah during the bringing of the korban, but because if the korban becomes tumah, you're not going to be able to eat it, and you want to be able to eat the shirayim of it. You want to be able to eat the korban omer and other such korbanos, if at all possible. So the Gemara continues with the discussion. 8 lines from the top. Maisvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Hoya makrav minchas porim ve'elam ukvasim. Suppose that a Kohen was in the middle of bringing a mincha of cows or rams or sheep. The pashtos, the mincha we mean over here is the minchas nisachim, the flour, wine, and oil that comes with an oilo or a shlamim. So if he's bringing those, v'nitmis v'yadah, and becomes tamei while he's holding it, let's say a sheretz fell on it. Omer, so he tells them that it became tamei, and v'vi'un acheres tachtea, and they bring another one to replace it. The im ein sham elohi, but if there's no other one like that, meaning he can't find one, Rashi says in this connection, and it means shalom matzah mezuman lakach, he couldn't find an available one. Elsewhere, Rashi says that maybe even, for example, with the previous one, with the Omer, that would mean even if they have to go and harvest a new one and everything, whether Rashi means over here the same thing, that if they don't find Mezuman, it might, then over here, being that if Shabbos or Yom Tov, as the Gemara is assuming, then you can't go and harvest new ones. To that extent, the Mincha is not Dorcha Shabbos, but it would mean, in other words, let's say we don't have, if we don't find available flour, wine, or oil to mix up a new Mincha. So they tell him, heavy pikeach or soik, be smart and be quiet. In other words, don't say anything. The fact is, it is a korban sibur, and therefore it is doicha tumah. So we tell him to be quiet, because if he makes it known that it's Tomei, then you have the same problem as we did with the Omer, which is that people are going to think if you're able to bring a Korban Tzibur, a Mincha of a Tzibur, which is Tomei, then you can also bring a Mincha of a Yochid, which is Tomei, and it's not so. A Mincha of a Yochid is not Doicha Tumah. So the point is, my lav, shouldn't we assume that the mincha that we're talking about over here is potem elam akvasim de chag, when it says the bulls, the rams and the sheep means, for example, the ones that are brought on Sukkos or any other yomtiv, which are a carbon sibur with a fixed time. So according to the usual rules, those should be doicha tumah, and according to Reb Nachman, it should be tumah hutra b'tzibur, and therefore we shouldn't care if they're tumah, because we're allowed to l'chatchila bring them as tumah. The same thing obviously would apply to the parim, elam, and kvasim of other yom tovim. Tosfos Rialovan says, we're just mentioning those, because you have the greatest number of those, but the same thing would apply to any other korban tzibur that has a fixed time, the tumid, the musaf of Shabbos, the musaf of any other yom tov, etc. So according to Reb Nachman, why does he have to tell them that it's Tomei so that they can get another one if possible, if according to him, and that's not necessary? The answer is, Amalach Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman can answer you, Loi, that's not what it means. The parim, Elam Akvasim over here means actually different korbanos that don't meet the criteria of being Doicha Tumah. Parim would be Para Vodizara. The parim in this connection is not the parim that you bring on Yom Tovim as a Korban Musaf, but rather the par, or parim, that you bring if the Jewish people mistakenly worship Vodizara, where they have to bring a par for an Ola and a Sura for a Chatas. You have to have a Macholikus and Horius, whether they bring one on behalf of the whole Jewish people. Or you have, I think, Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda, I think it is, says over there that each shevet by itself is called a kohol, and therefore you need a separate par and sar for each one. Whatever the case, the parim are oilus, and therefore they need a minchas tesachim like any other. Now that is a korban sibur, but afal gab de tziburu, even though it's a korban sibur, kibin de lekvia lezman, since it doesn't have a fixed time to bring it, because unlike the korban tamid you have in the morning and in the afternoon every day, the musaf of Shabbos is every Shabbos, the musaf of Rosh Chodesh is every Rosh Chodesh, and so forth. It's kavua lezman. This one, there's no fixed time for it. Whenever it should happen, the Jewish people mistakenly worship Abba Dezara based on a psak of the Sanhedrin, and then they realize they're mistake, then they bring this carbon. So that kind, therefore, so since it doesn't have a fixed time, it's not in fact doicha tumah. Well, it is doicha tumah, but therefore ma'adrinan. So at least even Reb Nachman is going to say, fine, it's doicha tumah, but nevertheless we are going to attempt. At least I agree, says Reb Nachman. In that case, at least it's not going to be tumah hutra b'tzibur. At most, it'll be tumah d'chuya b'tzibur, and therefore we're going to have to try to get a new korban mincha. We're going to have to try to get a new minchas nesachim if possible. That's as far as the parim. Similarly, elim means the eloi shel Aaron. The ram we're talking about over here is not just any old ram. It's the one that Aaron brings, or the kohen gadol brings, as his personal korban on Yom Kippur. Same problem in reverse. Staff agav b'kviya lezman. That one has a fixed time because it's meant to be brought on Yom Kippur, but given the yachidu, but it is a korban of a yachid, mahadrin, and therefore we're going to try to avoid bringing it b'tumah if possible, and bring it b'tahara. Tosfos discusses over here, and there was a point that was brought up by the Mefoshim before, that you have two personal korbanos of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. You have this one, and you also have the power of the Kohen Gadol. The difference is that he brings on Yom Kippur. The difference is that one, many of the other korbanos depend on it. For example, you can't sprinkle the blood of the Seir, Lashem, in the Heichel, in the Kodesh Kodashim, and in the Heichel, until the blood of the power is sprinkled over there. So that one, even though it's a korban yachid, is counted almost like a korban sibur, because korbanos sibur depend on it. Here we're talking about the Ayil, which doesn't have that dispensation. Therefore, the only thing we can say is that it is a korban yachid. In fact, if Kohen Gadol himself was Tomei, then he might not be able to bring it. It's possible that somebody else might have to bring that particular korban. At least to the extent of the Nesachim, we can say that we could bring it b'tumah if necessary, but we would prefer to bring it b'tahara, because it is, after all, a korban yachid. And kvasim. And when it comes to sheep of the Braisa, means bekeves haboy ma'omer. That means specifically not just any sheep of the korban mincha of the musafim. It means the sheep, the two sheep that are brought together with the korban ma'omer. where they are. We're not talking about, when we say the mincha, we don't mean minchas nesachim, which is going to be sprinkled or burnt on the mizbeach. We mean the korban omer, which is the mincha that accompanies it, which, as we said before, the ikashirayim lachila, those leftover parts of the korban which need to be eaten, and we said before, Rav Nachman agrees that when there's that, when you have korbanos that are supposed to be eaten, then we try to do it betara as much as possible, because we want the kohenim to be able to eat the mincha. So therefore, Rav Nachman could say that braisa doesn't contradict me, because none of the korbanos that it's talking about are ones that meet my criteria. From my criteria, for it to be that tumah hutra b'tzibur, would be that it's a korban tzibur that has a fixed time, and that the shirayim of it don't need to be eaten. In this case, the parim is the parim is not kavur lozman, the ayil is not a korban tzibur, and the kvasim, the mincha that accompanies them, is meant to be eaten. Okay, so the Gemara says meisvi. I have another contradiction. On Rav Nachman again, that Rav Nachman is saying that tumah hutra b'tzibur, meaning that once there's tumah, then we don't worry about it at all. We go ahead and do it even l'chatchila. We don't even try to find tahorim to do it. But a braisa says dam shenitma, if the blood of a korban becomes tumah, the zorkoi, and you sprinkle that on the mizbeach anyway, b'shogeg hutza, if it was b'shogeg, then the korban is accepted. B'mezid lo hutza, if it was done b'mezid, then the korban is not accepted. Rashi explains that actually midaraisa would work either way, but midrabanan, we make a knas and we say the meat of it can't be eaten. We do still say the owner is still yotze his korban, and we have to, because once he's yotze on the daraisa level, and once the person or the individual or the tzibur, we're going to talk about in a second what kind of korban this is, once they're yotze their korban on daraisa level, the chachamim can't tell them bring another korban, because you can't bring cholin into the azar. And anyway, the point is, the fact that the Chachamim made such a takana means that it's not a l'chatchiladika thing. So, and even only b'shogeg was saying hurtza, you need the tzitz in order to make it acceptable. That implies, if we're talking about a korban yach, about a korban sibur, that implies that tumor is not hurtza, it's only dechuya, like Rav Sheshes. The answer is kitanya hi di yachid. That braisa of Nachman can say is talking about a korban of a yachid. A korban of a yachid, of course, is not doicha tuma. So therefore, yeah, if the blood became tume, then we can start talking about what happens b'shogeg versus b'mezid. But if you're right, if it was a korban sibur, then it wouldn't make a difference. Next, toshma. Let's bring another proof. A braisa says al ma hatzitz miratza. And what now? We learned in Psachim, the Gemara mentions throughout Shas in different places, that you have certain cases where a korban would otherwise be possible because of tumah, and the tzitz makes the korban acceptable. Now there are a number of differences between that and what we were talking about, tumah dechuya or hutra b'tzibur. Rashi mentions the differences include that. When it comes to you have for yochid, you need the tzitz. For a korban sibur, we're going to say maybe you don't need the tzitz, because being that it's a korban sibur already, you can bring it b'tumah anyway. But for yochid, you need the tzitz to make it acceptable. On the other hand, the difference is that tumah hutra d'chuya b'tzibur would apply only to tumas nes, as we learned in Psachim. If, for example, the tzibur are tmeim from zavim or boil and nidus or whatever, then we still don't say that tumah hutra or dechuya b'tzibur. In the case of the korban pesach, for example, we said that they would have to be bringing that they'd have to they can't bring pesach rishon with that kind of tumah. On the other hand, when we say that the tzitz is meratza, then it means that it's meratza even for such things. But the flip side of it is that the tzitz is only meratza for tumas basar. Only for where the tumah, only where the meat of the korban is tameh, not where the people who are bringing it are tameh. So you have several differences between the tzitz and tumah hutra or dechuya b'tzibur. So the braisa says, al ma tzitz meratza, what does the tzitz make acceptable of a korban? Al adam, if the blood of a korban became tameh, v'ala basar v'ala chelev, or on the meat and the chelev, Shenitma, where they became tamei, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben ba'onus, ben b'rotzen, whether b'shogeg, b'mezid, or ba'onus, or b'rotzen, Rashi in several places explains that Rotzen and Mezid are essentially the same thing. The difference is, when we talk Shogig, the opposite of Shogig is Mezid. Shogig would be, for example, they didn't know that it's allowed to touch this. And Mezid would mean they knew and they did it anyway. Whereas Onus would mean that something unavoidable happened. And the flip side of Onus is Rotzen, where they wanted it to happen. But so it's not really four cases, it's really three. But whatever the case, where those become Tomei, in any case, Bein B'Yochid, Bein B'Tzibur, whether Yochid or Tzibur. Now this Braisa, by the way, is saying that the Tzitz is Meratza, whether it was B'Shogig, whether it was B'Mezid. The previous Braisa had distinguished between B'Shogig and B'Mezid, where it said B'Shogig it's allowed, B'Mezid it's not allowed. So one point is, we said that Rashi had said that Midrabanan, it's no good. Here we're talking about what happens to Araisa, that the Tzitz helps it. But also the Gemara in Psachim and in some other places discusses a possibility. What do we mean by that there can be two possibilities, right? Machlokas about it in Psachim. Do we mean that when we say B'Shogig and B'Mezid in the first Braisa, do we mean that the blood became Tomei B'Shogig versus it became Tomei B'Mezid, and then, let's say it became Tomei B'Shogig, and then they nevertheless knew that it was Tomei, and they sprinkled it. Are we saying that would be acceptable? But if it had become Tomei B'Mezid, then it wouldn't work, at least D'Rabbanan. And then the meat of the korban couldn't be eaten. Or is it the other way around, that even if it became Tomei, that however it became Tomei, we don't care. What we care, when it's sprinkled on the Mizbeach, are they doing that to show you the good amazing? It's Machlokas in the Gemara and Psachim over there. Whatever the case, and the point is that our Braisa, the last Braisa we quoted over here, says that the Tzitz helps for Yochid or for Tzibur. So if he's Hakadaitach Tumah Hetkehi B'Tzibur, now if you're going to tell me that Tumah is Utra B'Tzibur, like Rav Nachman, Lama Lila Ratzuyi, why do we need the Tzitz to be Meratzeh? According to Rav Nachman, Tumah Utra B'Tzibur, there's nothing for the Tzitz to accomplish anyway. The answer is Amalach Rav Nachman, Ki Katoni at Tzitz Meratzeh Adi Yochid. You know what? As a matter of fact, yeah. It does mention the tzibur, but it's when it talks about the tzitz being meratza, it's referring only to the yachid. In other words, when it mentions tzibur, it's mentioning the tzibur to stress that no matter what happens, b'shogeg, b'mezid, etc., it's kosher b'tzibur, but not that you need the tzitz for it. It's mentioning the yachid. And it's mentioning the tzitz in connection specifically with the yachid. In other words, in effect, Rav Nachman is saying you have to sort of break up the braisa. You have to say that the braisa is saying that all these cases would be kosher b'yachid or b'tzibur, but the difference is b'tzibur they're kosher because tumo hutra b'tzibur, and b'yachid they're kosher because of the tzitz. So the Iboy say, I feel the tame of a tzibur, or you could say, even Rav Nachman could answer that it is talking about the korban of a tzibur. But again, Bahanach Dolek Vila Huzman. We said before, Rav Nachman says that the whole concept of Tuma Hutra of a tzibur, according to him, is only for a korban tzibur that has a fixed time. This doesn't have a let's say you have a korban tzibur that doesn't have a fixed time. For example, we said before the Purim of Avodah Zarah, or other examples like that, where the Tzibur brings an unscheduled carbon because of something they did, a Par Helim Davish al Tzibur would be another example. So those, the Braisa has to tell us that if the meat or the chalev, or whatever, that if the meat and the chalev, or the blood, or whatever, became tummy, then you need the tzitz to make it acceptable, because otherwise you wouldn't say Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, seeing as how it is a carbon tzibur, but it's not one that has a kavua time. Okay, so that braisa can work. That braisa can work according to Rav Nachman as well. Earlier, by the way, when we have the Gemara had brought the braisa about dam shenitma, and we said that if it was b'mezid loy hurtza, Tosfos asks that one second when we say loy hurtza or loy hurtza, we're talking about whether you can eat the meat. That has nothing to do with Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. We said before that if the korban is Tomei, that if korban tzibur is Tomei, he still can't eat it. So Tosfos ends up answering that if we say Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, then Sure, that means if the shirayim, or the meat themselves, become tameh, then the tzibur is not going to be able to eat it. But if only the blood became tameh, then maybe then we're going to say tumah hutra b'tzibur. Maybe even the meat should be kosher to eat. Why are we saying memezid lehutza? And again, the answer was that wasn't talking according to the Nachman. It wasn't talking about a korban tzibur. It was talking about a korban yachid. Fine. Mesi, the Gemara says I have another contradiction. I'm not sure, by the way, I'd have to look it up, probably in Sfarim that deal with Kfalei Ashas, why it is that sometimes the Gemara is saying Mesvi, and sometimes the Gemara is saying, Toshma. So Mesvi, the Gemara says, I have another contradiction on Rav Nachman. The Braisa starts out as follows. The Pasuk says, V'nosa Aaron es Avon HaKadoshim. That, you have the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, and with the tzitz, Aaron will bear, meaning will remove the guilt of the Kodshim. So we have to figure out, what does that mean? What problem is there with Kodshim that the tzitz takes care of? We learned this in Pesachim as well. V'chi eza oven hu noise. What avera, what thing that would otherwise be an avera and make the Kodshim possible, and also that would make the Kodshim possible, does the tzitz take care of? Im avon pigul, does it mean the avera of pigul? Can't hare kvanema lo yerotze. The pasuk says lo yerotze, it will not be made acceptable, meaning, in other words, the tzitz can't help with it. The im avon noiser, and if the avera of noiser, hare kvanema lo yechoshev. The pasuk says, and it lo yechoshev, it won't be thought, meaning it won't be acceptable. Now, this is the girsa that Rashi has. There was an older girsa the other way around, that by pigul lo yechoshev and noiser lo yerotz. Rashi explains, the key thing is like this. The reason why Rashi is girdus the way we have it in the Gemara over here is like this. The words pigul and noiser over here do not mean what they usually mean throughout Shas. We know usually what pigul is throughout Shas. It means where the Kohen shechted the korban, having in mind that he's going to eat it or sprinkle the blood of it beyond the time that he's allowed to. So I'm shechting the korban today. I'm having in mind that the zrika I'm going to be doing tomorrow, that would make it pigul. And on the other hand, noiser, we know, means that when you have leftover pieces of a korban and you eat them beyond the time. Rashi says that's not what it means over here. Pigul over here means that he has a thought of chutz l'mekoymoi. So usually we don't call that pigul. Usually we call that posel, where he has in mind, let's say, that he's going to sprinkle the blood outside the azaro, eat the meat outside of the azaro, yerushalayim, depending on what kind of korban it is. That's what we mean by over here by pigul. Even though that's not the usual word, that's not the usual meaning of pigul, we do find some other gemaras that call it that way. The Gemara explains in Zvachim that is possible on the basis of the Pasuk Lo Yerotze. So it can't be, in other words, that's the kind of thing that the tzitz takes care of. Noiser would mean what we usually call pigul, in other words, that you intended to eat from the korban after the time, or you intended to sprinkle the blood of the korban after the time. Usually we call that pigul. Here, in this context, we call that noiser. In other words, the point is, Rashi says it can't be that we mean noiser as the usual thing, pieces of the korban left over, because once the korban was brought, once the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach, it's kosher, that's it. It doesn't matter if the meat of it then was left beyond the time, then it doesn't matter. We don't say that, we don't say it retroactively as passels the korban, so there's obviously no reason to refer to that over here. Therefore, noiser over here must mean what we usually call pigul, and pigul over here must mean chutz l'mekoymoi. So the Braisa is saying, therefore, that tzitz doesn't help with either of those things. Tosfos has a long discussion about that. You can see a Tosfos that begins over here two lines from the bottom and continues over a good part of the next Amud. And Tosfos says no, that not necessarily do we have to change the Girsa like Rashi is saying. In fact, we could, pigul and noiser could mean what they usually mean over here. The pigul would be, we had a thought of chutzlazmanoi, and noiser would be a part of a korban that's left over. You're going to say, as far as noiser, what do you mean? That after it became kosher, how does it become possible again? That, so Tosfos brings, Something in connection with Hilchos Tumah Vatahara, where we have that Rabbi Akiva says that after a person can become tahor, after, for example, after a zav, a zava, etc., after they became kosher, they might become posel again that same day. So therefore, on the same token, you could have conceivably, according to Rabbi Akiva, that a noiser, if you left over pieces of a korban, retroactively it would passel the korban, and so the pasuk is saying over here that don't think that tzitz helps with that. Anyway, the point is, so once we've excluded pigul and noiser, whether according to either definition, according to Rashi, meaning chutz l'mekoymoi and chutz l'zmanoi, or whether according to Tosfos, the regular, whether according to Tosfos, chutz l'zmanoi and noiser, so then ha ein a noiser, so therefore by elimination, what is there that the tzitz could take care of is ela avon tumah, only the avera where the korban, where there's tumah involved with the korban, shohutra mikol of a tzibur, and the reason why we're going to be makel on that and say that the tzitz helps with that is because we also find that there is a heter for it by the tzibur. So therefore, in other words, once we find one kula in it that the tzibur are able to bring korbanos for tumah, then we also use another kula and say that therefore the tzitz can also help for tumah. Which Tosfos asks the question again. I mean, why do we need that? If we're saying that there's nothing else that it could be, then obviously it must mean tumah because we eliminated everything else. So Tosfos says, okay, the fact is still, even though we eliminated everything else, we still need to find something that was mutter miklovle. We still need to find something where there is a heter on it someplace else. Namely, for example, and Tosfos goes through over there, actually, the Gemara in Menachos goes through a couple of other possibilities. Why don't we say, for example, that it would apply to, let's say, the Kohen does the Avodah with his left hand, where normally that would be possible, but on Yom Kippur, as we're going to have later in the Masechta, the Kohen Gadol does carry in the spoonful of Torahs into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in his left hand. So why don't we say that that's something? And the answer is that the expression Avon implies that there was something that would otherwise be an Avodah, but in this case, we're doiche it and we allow it to take place. So Tosfos goes through over here that all these things we mentioned, pigul and noiser, there were also exceptions, but never, and only because it said lo yechoshev and lo yerotze are we saying that the tzitz doesn't help with them. So ultimately, in other words, we need both. We need something that we eliminated all the other possibilities, but we still need something that huter miklaloi and that fits the definition in the pasuk of avoin that needs to be pushed away. As opposed to, for example, using the left hand on Yom Kippur, where it doesn't need to be pushed away. The Kohen Gadol does that l'chatzila. Okay. The point is, the Braisa used the expression to hutra, that it became mutter, the kashalot of Sheshis. So now, isn't that a problem for Rav Sheshis? According to Rav Sheshis, the tumor dechuya b'tzibur, why is the Braisa using the expression avon tumor to hutra, miklola b'tzibur, it should say dechuya b'tzibur? The answer is Rav Sheshis would say Tanoihi. It's actually Machloikas Tanoim, this question of whether Dechuya or Hutra, it's not a new Machloikas between me and Rav Nachman, it's actually about a previous Machloikas of Tanoim. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Tzitz. Now regarding this, that we say that the Tzitz helps to make a korban kosher, when does it work? Bein sheyeshne al mitzchay, bein sheyeshne al mitzchay meratzah, divid Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says it helps, it does its job, whether the Kohen Gadol is actually wearing it on his forehead right now, or whether he's not. Rav Yehuda says no. Oidehu al mitzchay meratzah, if the tzitz is still on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, Rashi says when the tumah happens to the korban, some of the other mephoshim say maybe it means when the korban was actually brought. Whatever the case, if it was on his forehead then, meratza, then it helps to make the korban acceptable. And again, like we said on Amud Aleph, unlike tumah dechuya or hutra b'tzibur, this one would apply even to a korban yachid. On the other hand, it works only for tumas boso, not for tumah of the koyan bringing it. But Rabbi Yehuda says, if tzitz is not right now on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, when the tumah takes place, according to Rashi, then nothing, then it doesn't help. The korban is not acceptable. Amalei Rav Shimon, so Rav Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, how can you say that? Kohen Gadol b'yom kippurim yechiyach, can't you prove the contrary from the avodah of Yom Kippur? She'ein odeho al mitzchay, during part of the avodah of Yom Kippur, there's the times when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he's wearing big day lavan, the tzitz is not among them, and umaratza. And nevertheless, if Tumah takes place, if something becomes Tumah during Yom Kippur of one of these Korbanos, then nevertheless they're acceptable. So that should show that even when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz.
We learned that as long as the tzitz is in the Beis Middash, then...
That's according to the Shimon. According to the Yehuda, it actually has to be on his forehead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we learned this. We had this discussion in Pesachim as well. The same machlokas, yeah. So, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Hanach L'Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what, forget about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. That's a special case, Shetumah Hutra Leibet Tzibur. Because since it's Karbanas Tzibur, then therefore Tumah is Hutra. Tumah is completely Mutter. So in other words, then we don't need the Tzitz. Well, the implication is the cloud that Rav Shimon Sava Tumah Dechoya Heibet Tzibur. So obviously Rav Shimon, who doesn't accept that, says that Tumah is only Dechoya. And if Tumah is Dechoya Betzibur, then that means we do need the Tzitz. What's the mechanism that makes it possible for Tumah to be Dechuya Betzibur would be the fact that we have a Tzitz. So therefore, according to Rav Shimon, it comes out that Tumah is only Dechuya Betzibur, not Hutra. So there you go then. So Rav Nachman therefore holds like Rav Yehuda, and Rav Sheshes holds like Rav Shimon. Which, by the way, you know, usually when we have a machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, usually the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. But over here, first of all, the Gemara has been bringing a bunch of contradictions against Rav Nachman, who were saying holds like Rav Yehuda. So even though, fine, Rav Nachman was able to fend for all of them, nevertheless, they're kind of doichkim. Second of all, anyway, we have a rule that when we have a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes in Dini Issa V'Heter, then the halacha is usually like Rav Sheshes, unlike in Dini Mominus, where the halacha is like Rav Nachman. So it is over here also. Therefore, the Rambam paskins like Rav Sheshes, which means in turn like Rav Shimon. So the... what the Rambam does is the Rambam's psak over here is a little bit of a hybrid. When it comes to Dechuya or Hutra B'tzibur, the Rambam paskins like Rav Sheshes that Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur, not Hutra like Rav Nachman, but rather Dechuya. On the other hand, when it comes to the matter of with the tzitz needed to be on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, they are the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So it seems to be a contradiction within what the Rambam says. If he's paskining Tumah Dechuya Hibetzibur, that comes out like Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So what is he doing? So there's a lot of different answers that the Noisei Kelim and the Rambam and various Achronim bring. Maybe the Kesef Mishnah says maybe the Rambam considers that Rabbi Shimon's question against Rabbi Yehuda is not that strong. Maybe what it is, there are other Gemaras that imply that Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur, so therefore the Rambam can be passing according to those, and yet be passing according to the Yehuda about this thing of that only when it's on his forehead, and there's a half a dozen different other answers to find for the Rambam, so he's not contradicting himself. Whatever the case, we see that the Machlokas of Tumah Dechuya versus Hutra B'tzibur is actually the Machlokas between the Yehuda and Rav Shimon. So the Gemara continues, Omer Abaya, the Nishbar HaTzitz, if the Tzitz was actually broken so that the Kohen Gadol physically can't wear it, then everybody is going to agree, even Rav Shimon is going to agree that the Tzitz can't work like that. How can it work when you can't even wear it? He pligi to toli v'siksa. The machlokas would be if the Tzitz is intact, but it's hanging on a peg. So, like you said before, Ali, that's in the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Savar al Meitzach Benosa. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, the Pasuk says that it has to be on his forehead, and then he bears away, then takes away the guilt, the Aveira of the Kodshim, so implying it has to be on his forehead. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, but the Pasuk also says, Tamid L'Ratzim L'Fnei Hashem, that it's always for acceptance in front of Hashem. So my tamid. So you have to ask, what does the word tamid mean in that pasuk? Yilema tamid on mitzvah. It doesn't mean that literally it has to be on his forehead all the time. How could that be? Mimashkachasla. How would it be possible for him to be wearing the tzitz all the time? Milei boi meolabis. Is it? Doesn't the Kohen Gadol sometimes have to go in the bathroom? Or milei boi meinam? Doesn't he sometimes need to sleep? So he can't be wearing the tzitz 24/7. Ella tamid meratzahu. What it means is tamid means as far as the effect of it. It's always meratzah if korbanos become tamid. And we have to remember, by the way, of course, korbanos themselves are brought only during the day, but you have the evarim, the chalovim, the evarim, the pedarim, or whatever, can be burnt overnight, and those conceivably could become tamid, and you need the tzitz in order to make them acceptable. So therefore, Rav Shimon is saying, if it says tamid, means even at night, so even when the Kohen Gadol is sleeping, and takes his tzitz and hangs it on a peg, still we're saying that it's meratzah. But not that he's actually wearing it all the time, because he can't, for example, be wearing it when he's sleeping. Actually, there is an interesting point in this connection. Does this mean, according to Reb Shimon, that, or at least, that the Kohen Gadol is allowed to wear the tzitz and the other big dekohuna outside the time of the Avodah? Because otherwise, the Gemara should say very simply, yeah, he only wears them during the time of the Avodah, and then he takes them off, and then he takes them off at night. Later in the Masecht, actually, we are going to have a discussion about that, where it's called Big Dekohuna Nitnu Lehonis, or Ain Nitnu Lehonis, are you allowed to have Hanna from the Big Dekohuna outside of the time of the Avodah? We're going to discuss that later at the beginning of the seventh Perek, but over here, Tosfos Yeshanim says that maybe, even if we say that you can't wear the other Big Dekohuna all the time, maybe the Tzitz is an exception. Precisely because it says Tamid, then therefore, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to wear it at other times outside the Avodah.
The thing is that if he goes home, then he has to leave in Beis Hamikdash because they're burning the leftover kabbarnas the whole night.
No. But Reb Shimon is not saying it has to be in the Beis Hamikdash. Reb Shimon is saying, according to Abaya anyway, that as long as the tzitz is intact, then we don't care whether it's in the Beis Hamikdash or not. So yeah, if he takes it home, then fine, it's still intact. But the point is, in other words, the Tosfos Yeshanim says, for example, we have the story of Yanai HaMelech and Kiddushin. We had it not so long ago in Ein Yaakov, where Yanai is making a big party and he invites all the Chachamim, and then one of his Tzaduki friends tells him, test the Chachamim and you'll see that they're against you, because you'll see that if you put on the tzitz and make them stand up, they're going to tell you that they object to your kingship or to your Kohuna Gdola. And that's exactly what happened. One of the Chachamim said that there's a question whether your mother is kosher the Kohuna because she was a Shruya, and the disaster happened because of that, because Yanai got angry at them and killed many of the Chachamim. Anyway, the point is, there we have, he's putting on the tzitz outside of the time of the Avodah. So fine, maybe the tzitz you're allowed to because of the word Tamid, not necessarily whether that would apply to the other big Kohuna or not is a question that the Gemara discusses in some places, including we're going to have it in all or in Armasech Dan Daf Samaches Samachdes. Okay. Anyway, so Ella Tomid Menatzahu. So Reb Shimon says, obviously the Tomid must mean the effect of the tzitz happens all the time, whether the Kohen Gadol is wearing it or not. So the question is, Reb Yehuda Nami Hoksiv Tomid. Nu, according to Reb Yehuda, what are we doing with the word Tomid? The answer is, Ahu Tomid Shle Yasiach Daitim Menu. Reb Yehuda would say the word Tomid doesn't mean over there that the effect of the tzitz is constant. What it means is that when he's wearing it, he has to constantly have his attention focused on it. K'dirav bar Rav Huna, and this would be like what Rav bar Rav Huna says. The Amar Rav bar Rav Huna, chayev adam l'mash mishpat tefillah b'chol shah v'shah. A person has to touch his tefillin every so often when he's wearing them, and we can learn in order that he doesn't forget about them, and we can learn that kavachomer mitzitz, and we can make a kavachomer from the tzitz. Madach the tzitz has only one name of Hashem, and it's Kodesh Lashem. Omra Torah al mitzchay tovid, and yet the Torah says that it has to be on his forehead constantly. And again, Rabbi Yehuda says constantly means shlo yasiach daiti menu, means that constantly when it's on his forehead, he must not lose track of it. He must not forget about it. Tefillin, Shiyesh Ben Askorah Esharbei, Tefillin have many names of Hashem in them. Allah has Kama Vakama. How much more so that you can't be distracted from it. Now, what do we mean by Hesach Hadas? The fact is, I mean, in the olden days, people used to wear Tefillin all day, and they would go to their work, and they'd be doing different other things while they're wearing Tefillin. So there's a few possibilities. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, Rabbeinu Yonah says that the Hesach Hadas we're talking about over here, that's also in Tefillin, is Kalos Rosh. You're right. It doesn't just mean distracted and not remembering at the moment that you're wearing Tefillin, but it means Kalos Rosh, being lightheaded, being silly, whatever, that kind of thing. You're not allowed, that kind of thing would be a Hesach Hadas in Tefillin. In Shulchan Aruch, it does pask in that way. So therefore, in other words, other kinds of things, if you're distracted by other things, well, so actually, the Rambam adds another criteria. The Rambam adds that the Rambam says if a person is in pain or something like that, then also it's considered Hesach Hadas. So it does bring that in Shulchan Aruch as well. The Alter Rebbe brings that in parenthesis, that if a person is, that if a person is really, really, is really, occupied and really, really distracted by the needs of his body, for example, because he's in pain, then that would also be considered Hesed Hadas. But if it's just a matter, for example, that a person is, let's say, wearing tefillin, and meanwhile he's learning, or meanwhile he's working, or whatever, and he forgets for a little while that he's wearing tefillin, then that's not so bad. That's not considered Hesed Hadas for this purpose. Nevertheless, the better thing is not to have Hesed Hadas at all, which in fact the post can say is one reason why we don't wear tefillin all day nowadays. There is a third possibility that some of the Rishonim bring up, that Hesed Hadas in particular means over here that he's not allowed to pass wind, not allowed to pass gas while he's wearing tefillin, which of course we have to be careful of anyway, and that's another reason we wear tefillin all day, because it's very hard to be careful about that. With that said, though, this that we touch our tefillin in different places during davening is based on this. Now, during davening itself, we're not worried about Hesed Hadas. We're not worried about Kalos Rosh during davening itself. But nevertheless, we do have the minhag, therefore, to touch our tshalyad and our shalosh at various places in davening. And one idea that is, and the idea of that is based on this that we're saying over here, that you have to be mamash mishing your tefillin all the time. Okay. So the point is, that Rabbi Yehuda would say the tumid by the tzitz doesn't mean that he's wearing the tefillin, doesn't mean that he's wearing the tzitz all the time. It means that he constantly has to be thinking about the tzitz as long as he's wearing it. By the way, Tosfos points out that this kavachomer that we're making over here is not really a very good kavachomer, because when you think about it, the tzitz has the name of Hashem on the outside, whereas tefillin it's covered by the batim. You have the shin of the, you have the shin on the tefillin, but it's, at least the shin, fine, can be considered letters on the tefillin. The dal and the yod are only knots. They're not really considered letters as such. And of course also on the tzitz you have yudke vavke. On the tefillin you only have shin dalad yud, which is, even if you say that all those count as letters, even if you say that the knots count as letters, that's still a name of lesser kedusha than yudke vavke. So Tosfos says you're right, it's not a true kavachomer, it's really only something d'rabban. The point is, in other words, that this, at least by the tzitz, we say that he does have to have it in mind all the time. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's what the word tamid by the tzitz means. Okay, all of Reb Shimon d'Amar Tamin Miratza. So according to Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon doesn't have to accept that drasha. He doesn't have to say that Tamid means that he constantly has to be thinking about it as long as he's wearing it. He can be saying that the Kohen is allowed to have Hesed Hadas while he's wearing the tzitz, and therefore Tamid means the effect of the tzitz. But all of Reb Shimon d'Amar Tamin Miratza, v'oksivam mitzvah v'nasa. Fine, but what is he doing with Reb Yehuda's pasuk, which says that the tzitz is on the Kohen's forehead, a meitzach, Aaron, v'nasa, and he bears the guilt. So according to him, how is that going to work out? How is that going to work out? If according to Reb Shimon, it works even when it's not on his forehead. The answer is, Reb Shimon would say very simple, that comes to tell us, where does he wear the tzitz? Otherwise, how are you going to know where on his body he's supposed to wear it? Vir Reb Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? Where does he learn that from? So Nafkalei Me'al Mitzchay. He learns that from the fact that it says Al Mitzchay on his forehead, meaning in other words, it says more than once in the pasuk, in the pesukim of it there, that the tzitz has to be on his forehead. And later on in that pasuk it continues, v'hoyal mitzchay tamid. So fine, from al mitzchay, you know that has to be on his forehead. Therefore, the earlier al mitzach must be, when does it have its effect? When it's on his forehead. So the question is, can't Reb Shimon learn that it has to be on his forehead from there? Why does he say Al Meitzach Aaron is to teach us where it is? And what's the name of Hanami? You're right. In fact, Reb Shimon could learn from there. El Al Mitzchay V'Nasa Mai Ovidle. So what is he doing with Al Mitzchay V'Nasa? Amalach Ro'i L'Meitzach Meratza. Reb Shimon would say, listen, we did say before that if the tzitz is broken, then it doesn't work. This is where we learn it from. Al Meitzach means only if it's Ro'i to go on his forehead, Meratza, only then does it help to make Karbonas Kosher. If it's not roi to go on his forehead, then it's not meratza. Therefore, that's exactly where we're learning that if the tzitz is broken, then deloy meratza, that doesn't work. Therefore, Reb Shimon says that's exactly. So one pasuk is teaching us that if it's broken, it doesn't work, and the other part of the pasuk is teaching us that it goes on his forehead. All of Rabbi Yehuda Nishba Tzitz Minole. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where are we learning that if the tzitz is broken, it's no good? Now, Tosfos is trying to ask what the question, of course. If it's broken, he can't wear it on his forehead. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be on his forehead to work. So obviously, that it has to be on his forehead includes that it has to be intact. Tosfos Hashanim says, if we only had one pasuk, then Rabbi Yehuda would be like Rabbi Shimon. He would say that it only depends whether it's broken or whether it's intact. He wouldn't know that it applies also whether it's on his forehead. Once we have two psukim, then necessarily we have to say one of them tells us it goes on that one of them tells us if it's broken, it doesn't work. The other one tells us even if it's not broken, it doesn't work unless it's on his forehead. So where's Rabbi Yehuda learning that from? So we also need another one to tell us where the tzitz actually goes. So in other words, in effect, we need three psukim, and we only have two. So the answer is, he would say, nafkalim imetzach mitzchoy. He learns that the Torah could have said, v'hoya al metzach tamid, and instead it says mitzchoy. Therefore, you can learn two things from it. Number one, that it has to be on his forehead. And number two, that only when it's on its forehead does it help as far as the korbanos. But Reb Shimon, Meitzach Mitzchoy leMashmalei, whereas Reb Shimon would say, I don't think that Meitzach and Mitzchoy is a significant difference. I don't hold that we can darshin from the fact that it could have said Meitzach and instead it says Mitzchoy. I don't hold that we can darshin anything from that. Therefore, we only have two psukim. One of them teaches us where it has to go. The other one teaches us if it's broken, it doesn't work. Nothing to teach us that if it's not on his forehead, it's no good. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, even if it's not on his forehead, it still has the effect on Kodshin. Whereas again, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says we have three things to learn from: the fact that it says Meitzach, the fact that instead it says Mitzchoy, and the fact that it again says V'hoyal Mitzchoy Tomid. And therefore we have all three, and therefore one of them teaches us where it goes on his forehead. The other one teaches us if it's broken, it's no good. And the third one teaches us that even if it's still intact, it's no good as far as the korbanos unless he's wearing it. Okay, again, the Rambam passed in Zakar Yehuda as far as that particular machlokes, but as far as the previous one, whether Tumah Dechuya or Hutra, there he passed in Zakar Sheshes, which means in turn like Rav Shimon, that Tumah is only Dechuya B'tzibur, and therefore that you need the tzitz to make it acceptable, not that it's Hutra. Okay, so we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and then get into more details about the Kohen Gadol and the preparations for him before Yom Kippur.
Yes, you call it. Have a wonderful day.
See you.